place puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And no matter where Gordon Goldsborough of the Manitoba Historical Society goes in Manitoba, he finds something really interesting to talk about. Hello, Gordon. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
Now, last week you told us about this bank vault in a farmyard near Deloraine, and you hinted at another stone edifice. What's your story today?
Well, of course, the stone bank vault was made out of field stones, you know, the small rounded ones you find
yes.
strewn all over the place. Well, of course, they made a lot of things out of those kind of materials, and they made houses among them. So today's site is an old house made out of field stone.
And where is it?
It's a little southeast of Larivière, about 3 miles out of Larivière. And it's in the middle of a farmer's field. I mean, you drive by, you can see it far in the distance. And so quite a number of times I'd been by it and hadn't really gotten close enough to be able to see it in detail. So I didn't really think much of it until I had an opportunity last fall to go look at it. And it's really magnificent.
Why is it there?
Well, I suppose it was a commanding spot. It's on the top of a little hill, sort of overlooking a little ravine. And I think probably it was simply built there because it was built before the roads were installed, and therefore they really didn't think of it in terms of where it is relative to the roads. It was just a good spot for a house.
What do you know about who built it?
Well, that's interesting in itself. There was a gentleman, I guess, must have been, I guess, from the Larivière area named Jim Willicks. He was a stonemason from British Isles, and he built quite a number of houses in that area. But whether he just wasn't a very good stonemason or whether he just didn't understand the conditions, most of his houses are long gone, mainly because the weight of the stone, of course, a stone is very heavy. And if you don't build it properly with a good solid foundation, it'll collapse over the years. And most of his buildings have since collapsed because of the nature of the soil in that region. It's very sort of a what they call a blue clay, and it tends to sort of flow when you put weight on it. And so most of the buildings have simply collapsed under the weight of the building. But this one, 118 years later, it's still solid.
And so what actually remains of it?
Well, it's the walls. It's a two-story building. The walls are still intact for main floor, second floor. The roof is still intact. Roof is still intact, although the shingles are, you know, shaky. The building was occupied until the early 1960s, so it was maintained until then. It's been abandoned there for about 50 years, but it's still remarkable condition, although it's been salvaged. Someone has taken out a lot of the – well, we were told that at one time it had a lot of really impressive millwork inside. The staircase was supposed to be one of the grandest ones in the area. The doors were quite impressive as well. And someone since the building has been vacant has salvaged a lot of that stuff. So what you really see left now are just the exterior stone walls and then just a few of the like the interior floors, but not a lot of the really impressive stuff inside.
How accessible is it?
Well, not very. The driveway that led into it has been since plowed under, and it's part of the farmer's field. So to get to it, you've literally got to drive through the farmer's field. And in fact, this is one of the issues because people just routinely apparently just drive out to it to have a look. And this is to the chagrin of the farmer because they often trample his crop in the process. So I luckily had an opportunity last fall to go after the crop had been harvested and with the farmer's permission.
So who is this person who owns it?
It was a gentleman by the name of David Lang. He had come here from Quebec, from the vicinity of Montreal in 1879 to farm. And a few years later, he had this Mr. Willicks build him this house overlooking this little ravine. It was built in, started in 1896, and then the building was finished in 1897.
Is anybody preserving it?
Not to my knowledge. The farmer, in fact, is a little, say, chagrined by the number of people trespassing in on it. So he's said on a few occasions that he's tempted to tear it down just to avoid that, you know, potential liability. But I think that'd be a shame because it is a remarkable building. It's built in a rather interesting way that I hope would be preserved.
What's special about the way it's built?
Well, if you look at it from a distance, you see a whole series of what look like large square stones. In fact, it looks sort of like quarried stone. And the thing about quarries, of course, is you cut the blocks into chunks, like cubes, and you build a building out of that. And that's what it looks like from a distance. And you think, where would that have come from? There's not an awful lot of places on the prairies where you can find, you know, quarryable stone of that quality. Well, what they did, in fact, was that Mr. Willicks, the stonemason, split the stone in half. You know, so you got a flat side on the two halves, turned one of them facing out, one of them facing in, and then, of course, because of the round sides on the inside, you had a little bit of space in there. You'd fill that with smaller stone, maybe a little bit of gravel to fill it up. So from a distance, say, it looks like big cubes of stone, when in reality, it's field stones, the rounded field stones that have been split in half.
Clever fellow. So this is all near La Riviere, right?
Yeah, south and east. It's about 3 miles south.
And what do they call this place? Does it have a name?
Yeah, it's right. It's called the Lang House after David Lang. In fact, it carried that name right through to its last occupant, even though they weren't Langs. Mrs. Lang died in 1913. She's buried in a nearby cemetery. Mr. Lang kind of lost track of him. Last I found, he was around 1923, but they didn't have any children. And therefore, there are no Lang descendants to take it on. But like a lot of places around the province, people just continue to call it the old Lang House. And that's what it's known by today.
Gordon, thanks for bringing us the story. I appreciate this.
Glad to do it.
And next week?
I'll just say this. It'll be a breath of fresh air.
You're always so cryptic. All right. Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society.
Puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Gordon Goldsboro will be back again next week with another reveal of the lost and forgotten places of our province. Now, to find out more about his stories, head to the web or to our Facebook page. We've posted a link to the Lang House. Have a look at it. That building is a gem. It's gorgeous.